Thank you kindly, Sean. And greetings to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the things we have to be careful of, and in our day, the way things are going, the world would try to get us to forget. And it's definitely being challenged with a louder voice almost all over the world that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. I want to discuss that just a little bit. There's a couple of things I'd like to read to you to get us going. And one of them is comes out of the fifth chapter of Galatians. And one of the things we probably don't need to be reminded, but I'll do it anyway, that these things that are written in here, they don't just apply to these people. We're reading them to ourselves. They're the Word of God to us. And if you read it, it's talking to you. If I read it, it's talking to me. And if I read it to you, it's talking to both of us. So that's what we're doing. For brevity's sake, I'll not read the whole thing, but it's talking about the flesh and the lust of flesh and the spirit and the fruit of the spirit. So I'll begin reading at verse 22. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. And it's just showing us the fruits that we need to look for to whoever is spiritual doing this. But sometimes we think that this only applies in a situation that's described here of somebody being overtaken in a fault. And ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Remembering that we're all human and subject to those same failures and mistakes. But the thing I guess that has been coming back to bite me, or do, you can describe it however you'd like, I hope none of the ways that I talk will offend you. But when it says that the fruit of the Spirit are these different items, and there's a couple other places that puts a few more descriptions in it, that if you're going about any of the thing, any of the projects you're doing, I don't care whether you're building a porch on your house or driving down the street in heavy traffic, it's describing to you what your attitude needs to be, because you're a child of God and you want to be possessed of these spiritual attributes. So these are things that we need to, I realize this is pretty strict. It is. But God has described these things for us in these several different ways to help us see how to govern. I'll borrow a word from some others. How to govern our emotions. How to guide them. How to restrain them. Discipline them and ourselves in the process. These are things that we need to do. I'm going to turn now to 2 Thessalonians and read some words there that I think we need to give serious consideration to. This is in 2 chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And it's talking about how Satan is going to manifest himself and put himself in a position, or try to, in the eyes of all man, to show himself that he's God. And he goes on down through here. I'll start at verse 6. Well, verse 5, really. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we who are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by his gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ is very often referred to as the Son of Righteousness. Did you ever think that there's, I guess I'll cite several of the Indian legends now. They pray to this individual that they call Grandfather. You all probably are far ahead of me. You know exactly why they call him Grandfather. Or do you? That's a good reason why they call him Grandfather and pray to him and believe that everything has to emanate from him. And the Son of Righteousness is Jesus Christ. Because God is righteousness. He's all things good. He's love. All of the things he's described as being. That Almighty One is that. Besides the one that is Almighty. We need to really understand these things. And so in the process, the Indians in their generations way back, and they don't know when it started. We do. They became the children of Christ, the Son of God. And so they prayed to his Father through him, and so he's Grandfather. These are simple things that you all not only know probably, but you'd be able to teach me something about. But I bring them up so that you can kind of review them in your mind, because we live in a day that is going to it's going to try all the strength that we have. And so we need to believe in this Jesus Christ. And if we read his word, we have to realize these words, being the words of Jesus Christ, are always true. And that's one of the things that comes out so strongly and stands out with the example of great faith that the brother Jared had. When he was talked to, he knew that he was talking to a God of miracles, and so he couldn't lie. He was a God of truth. That's what he is. That's part of his person. You stop and think, you know, there's the little story where Christ had this young man come to him and say, "Good master." And he said, "Why call ye me good? There's one that's good, my Father." Christ was following all of the guidelines of his Father, and he brought those to us as a message to show us that the only way to be saved, to come to Christ, we have to travel, in a manner of speaking, from where we are to Christ. And that road to Christ is the same in that straight and narrow one, and it's called repentance. Sometimes the cramp that is generated by the word repentance is against the grain of some people. I have run into that. But we have to realize that if you read Christ's words and you believe them, you'll say you believe them, and you change your conduct to follow that path, those words, the fact that you laid aside one group of behaviors and replaced them with the other is repentance. Only one thing is left out, that you have to ask forgiveness for the things that you've done all this time that you should have done. So while we're thinking about that, I'm going to read you a prophecy. It's a pretty lengthy one, so be patient with me. I'll start you out in the beginning of a chapter so you know exactly who's speaking and where a lot of his ideas come from. Chapter 11 in 2 Nephi, beginning on page 139. "Now I, Nephi, do speak somewhat concerning the words which I have written, which have been spoken by the mouth of Isaiah. For behold, Isaiah spake many things which were hard for many of my people to understand, for they know not the concerning the manner of the prophesying among the Jews. For I, Nephi, have not taught them anything concerning the manner of the Jews, for their works were works of darkness, and their doings were doings of abomination." That's a real indictment to a group of people, isn't it? I'll point something else out to you. In all the prophecies, when you put them all together, it speaks about God leading groups from their land of inheritance to other lands and placing them in different spots in the world. But there is one group that he just plain flat says he scattered them. And they are the Jews that it's talking about here. And Isaiah, as he goes and prophesies to the Jews, says many things to them and tells them that these things that are happened to them is because of their wickedness and their unwillingness to keep God's commandments. Over and over he tells them this, and they never seem to get it or even listen to it sometimes. I'm going to start now . Maybe I better start just a little before that. I'll start at verse 55 on page 143. Now behold, I say unto you that the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not, and Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore you must bow down before him and worship him with all your might, mind, and strength, and your whole soul. And if you do this, you shall in no wise be cast out. And inasmuch as it shall be expedient, you must keep the performances of the ordinances of God until the law shall be fulfilled, which was given unto Moses. And after the Christ shall have risen from the dead, he shall shew himself unto you, my children, and my beloved brethren. And the words which he shall speak unto you shall be the law which he shall do. For behold, I say unto you that I have beheld the many generations shall pass away, and there shall be great wars and contentions among my people. And after that the Messiah shall come, there shall be signs given unto my people of his birth, and also of his death and resurrection. And great and terrible shall that day be unto the wicked, for they shall perish. And they perish because they cast out the prophets and the saints, and stone them and slay them. Wherefore the cry of the blood of the saints shall ascend up to God from the ground against them. Wherefore all they that are proud and that do wickedly, the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, for they shall be as stubble. And they that kill the prophets and the saints, the depths of the earth shall swallow them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and the mountains shall cover them, and the whirlwind shall carry them away, and buildings shall fall upon them and crush them to pieces and grind them to powder. And they shall be visited with thundering and lightnings, an earthquake, and all manner of destruction. For the fire of the anger of the Lord shall be kindled against them, and they shall be as stubble. And the day that cometh shall consume them, saith the Lord of hosts. Now this is a prophecy that before the days that Christ came, and so we can read in the Book of Mormon about the great storm, a phenomenal storm, one like it that's never been recorded before, that went through this land. There's just a little bit that's written in the Bible that tells about some of these things. But the Book of Mormon puts a lot of details in it and shows you why it happened, how it happened, what it accomplished. Oh, the pain and the anguish of my soul for the loss of the slain of my people. For I, Nephi, have seen it, and it well nigh consumeth me before the presence of the Lord, but I must cry unto my God, thy ways are just. But behold, the righteous that hearkeneth unto the words of the prophets and destroy them not, but look forward unto Christ with steadfastness for the signs which are given, notwithstanding all persecutions. Behold, they are they which shall not perish. But the Son of Righteousness shall appear unto them, and he shall heal them, and they shall have peace with him until three generations shall pass away, and many of the fourth generation shall pass away in righteousness. And when these things shall have passed away, a speedy destruction cometh upon unto my people, for notwithstanding the pains of my soul, I have seen it. Wherefore, I know that it shall come to pass. And they sell themselves for naught, for the reward of their pride and their foolishness, they shall heap destruction. For because they yield unto the devil and chose works of darkness rather than light, therefore they must go down to hell. For the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceaseth to strive with man, then cometh speedy destruction, and his grief, and this grieveth my soul. And as I speak concerning the convincing of the Jews that Jesus is very Christ, it must needs be that the Gentiles be convinced also that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, and that he manifests himself unto all they that believe in him by the power of the Holy Ghost. Yea, unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, working mighty miracles, signs, and wonders among the children of men according to their faith. But behold, I prophesy unto you concerning the last days, concerning the days when the Lord God shall bring these things forth unto the children of men. And that after that my seed and the seed of my brethren shall have dwindled in unbelief and shall have been smitten by the Gentiles. Yea, after that the Lord God shall have camped against them round about and shall have laid siege against them with a mount and raised forts against them, after that they shall have been brought down low in the dust, even that they are not, yet the words of the righteous shall be written, and the prayers of the faithful shall be heard, and all they which have dwindled in unbelief shall not be forgotten. For they which shall be destroyed shall speak unto them out of the ground, and their speech shall be low out of the dust, and their voice shall be as one that has of a familiar spirit. For the Lord God will give unto him power, that he may whisper concerning them, even as it were out of the ground, and their speech shall whisper out of the dust. For thus saith the Lord God, they shall write the things which shall be done among them, and they shall be written and sealed up in a book. And they that have dwindled in unbelief shall not have them, for they seek to destroy the things of God. Wherefore, as they have been destroyed, destroyed speedily, and the multitude of their terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away, yea, thus saith the Lord God, it shall be as at an instant, suddenly. And it shall come to pass that they which have dwindled in unbelief shall be smitten by the hand of the Gentiles, when the Gentiles are lifted up in the pride of their eyes and have stumbled because of the greatness of their stumbling block. That they have built up many churches. So when we do this and you see the confusion in the land, realize it was prophesied. This is God's word. He's telling us, he's trying to warn us even before we saw it. That was one of the things, of the big stumbling block to us, the Gentiles. Nevertheless, they put down the power and miracles of God and preached up unto themselves their own wisdom and their own learning, that they may get gain and grind upon the face of the poor. And there are many churches built up which cause envyings and strifes and malice. And there are also secret combinations, even as in times of old, according to the combinations of the devil. For he is the founder of all these things. Yea, the founder of murder and works of darkness. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with the flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cord forever. For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doth not any, He doeth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none that they shall not partake of his salvation. Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, by milk and honey, without money and without price. Behold, hath he commanded that any should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he hath given it free for all men, and he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men unto repentance. So are we his people? This is a commandment directed directly to us, saying to us that we must teach all people, persuade all men as much as we can that they need to repent and come unto God, unto this Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But all men are privileged, the one like unto another, and none are forbidden. He commanded that there shall be no priestcraft. For behold, priestcrafts are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise of the world, but they seek not the welfare of Zion. I'll stop here just long enough. The light that men should hold up I think it's the 55th verse of the 8th chapter of 3 Nephi. He talks about, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In the New Testament of the Bible, in the 55th verse of the 8th chapter of 3 Nephi, it says, the light that we are to hold up is Jesus Christ talking. He says, I'm the light that you should hold up, the things that you have seen me do. And through the word of these writers that have come to us now, we are seeing and reading about and picturing probably the things that we have seen him do. I'll go on, verse 104. Behold, hath God commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But all men are privileged, the one like unto the other, and none are forbidden. And he commanded that there should be no priestcraft. For behold, priestcrafts are that men should preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise of the world, but they seek not the welfare of Zion. Behold, the Lord hath forbidden this thing. Wherefore the Lord God hath given commandment that all men should have charity, which charity is love. And except they should have charity, they were nothing. Wherefore, if they should have charity, they would not suffer the laborer in Zion to perish. But the laborer in Zion shall labor for Zion, for if they labor for money, they shall perish. And again, the Lord God hath commanded that men should not murder, that they should not lie, that they should not steal, that they should not take the name of the Lord their God in vain, but they should not envy, that they should not have malice, that they should not contend one with another, that they should not commit whoredoms, and that they should do none of these things. For whoso doeth them shall perish, for none of these iniquities come of the Lord, for he doeth that which is good among the children of men. Sometimes this word contend too fools us. more especially if you read God's writings, it doesn't mean that you have always the same opinion or the same word to describe a different issue. It means that you don't fight about it. You don't condemn. You don't contend with anger. Just to kind of put this in your lap, long, many years ago, before we came, before any of your white men came, here on this land, the Indians gathered together yearly. And they fought and they killed each other. And in their legend, it says that the Great Spirit in the form of a man came to them, told them they had to stop that. They had to learn to live in peace. And he sent them all home to their native lands and told them to choose a runner to come back and mark the spot for the great lodge in their planning and describing things. He marked a spot of a great lodge that was a great lodge to them. It would probably be a temple to us. But they were to do this and they had to stop killing each other. That was their contention about the differences that they had. If I can find my place again. Oh, yes. And he that doeth, start of verse 112, and he that doeth nothing, save it be plain unto the children of men. And he doeth nothing, save it shall be plain unto the children of men. And he inviteth them all to come to him, partake of his goodness. And he denieth none to come unto him, black and white, bond and free, male and female. And he remembereth the heathen, and all are alike unto God, both Jew and Gentiles. Behold, in the last days, or in the days of the Gentiles, that's an odd wording too, isn't it? In the last days, or in the days of the Gentiles. Yea, behold, all the nations of the Gentiles and also the Jews, both they which shall come upon this land and they which shall be upon other lands, yea, even upon all the lands of the earth, behold, they'll be drunken with iniquity and all manner of abominations. And when that day shall come, they shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and with great noise, and with storm and tempest, and with flame of devouring fire. And all the nations that fight against Zion and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall come, shall be unto them even as unto a hungry man that dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or like a thirsty man that dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. Yea, even so shall the multitude of all the nations of be that fight against Mount Zion. For behold, all ye that do iniquity, stay yourselves and wonder, for ye shall cry out and cry. Yea, ye shall be drunken, but not with wine. Ye shall stagger, but not with strong drink. For behold, the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. For behold, ye have closed your eyes, and ye have rejected the prophets and your rulers, and the seers hath he covered because of your iniquities. And it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall bring forth unto you the words of a book, and they shall be the words of them which have slumbered. I hold that book in my hand. But there's some of the things we don't want to be confused about the coming forth of that book. So I'm going to read the rest of it. And behold, the book shall be sealed, and in the book shall be a revelation from God from the beginning of the world to the end thereof. Wherefore, because of the things which are sealed up, the things which are sealed shall not be delivered in the day of wickedness and abominations of the people. Wherefore, the book shall be kept from them, But the book shall be delivered unto a man, and he shall deliver the book, or rather the words of the book, which are the words of they which have slumbered in the dust, and he shall deliver these words to another. But the words which are sealed he shall not deliver, neither shall he deliver the book. For the book shall be sealed by the power of God, and the revelation which was sealed shall be kept in the book until the own due time of the Lord, that they may come forth. For behold, they reveal all things from the foundation of the world unto the end thereof. And the day cometh that the words of the book, which were sealed, shall be read upon the housetops, and they shall be read by the power of Christ. And all things shall be revealed unto the children of men, whichever hath been among the children of men, and whichever will be, even unto the end of the earth. Wherefore at that day, when the book shall be delivered unto the man of whom I have spoken, the book shall be hid from the eyes of the world, that the eyes of none shall behold it, save it be three witnesses shall behold it, by the power of God, besides him to whom the book shall be delivered. And they shall testify to the truth of the book and the things therein. And there is none other which shall view it, save it be a few, according to the will of God, to bear testimony of his word unto the children of men. For the Lord God hath said that the words of the faithful shall speak as if it were from the dead. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to bring forth the words of the book, and in the mouth of as many witnesses as it seemeth him good will he establish his word, and woe be unto him that rejecteth the word of God. But behold, it shall come to pass that the Lord God shall say unto him to whom he shall deliver the book, take these words which are not sealed, and deliver them to another, that he may shew them unto the learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And the learned shall say, bring hither the book, and I will read them. And now because of the glory of the world, and to get gain, will they say this, and not for the glory of God. And the man shall say, I cannot bring the book, for it is sealed. Then shall the learned say, I cannot read it. Now, I don't know whether you all realize it or not. This literally happened when the book came forth. The words that were not sealed. Of course, we don't have the words that are sealed. We have part of what was in the book. So all of these things we need to understand. Then shall the learned say, I cannot read it. Wherefore, it shall come to pass that the Lord God will deliver again the book to and the words thereof to him that is not learned, and the man that is not learned shall say, I am not learned. Then shall the Lord God say unto him, the learned shall not read them, for they have rejected them. I am able to do mine own work, wherefore thou shalt read the words which I shall give unto thee. And I kind of like to bring out this point, too. We may think that we are saying that the learned had rejected them. No, that's the words in the books that God told them to put in there way back when they were written on the plates. That's not our judgment. It's part of the prophecy. Touch not the things which are sealed, for I will bring them forth in mine own due time. For I will shew unto the children of men that I am able to do mine own work. Wherefore, when thou hast read the words which I have commanded thee, and obtained the witnesses which I have promised unto thee, then shalt thou seal up the book again, and hide it up unto me, that I may preserve the words which thou hast not read, until I see fit in mine own wisdom to reveal all things unto the children of men. Now that's a great thing to recognize. After you read all this and the different words that are there, God has, if it was all sealed in the first place, he unsealed part of it and had it come forth for our good, for our benefit. And then he gave it back, but the words that had been sealed otherwise had brought forth all the things that he talks about we don't have, but were still to have come to us. Start at verse 144. Wherefore, when thou hast read the words which I have commanded thee, and obtained the witnesses which I have promised unto thee, then shalt thou seal up the book again, and hide it up unto me, that I may preserve the words which thou hast not read, until I shall see fit in mine own wisdom to reveal all things unto the children of men. For behold, I am God, and I am a God of miracles, and I will shew unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith. Another point I think, before I forget it, I'd like to bring out here. He is a God of miracles. The whole process of the way this book came forth, this is not something that Joseph Smith translated. He was given the words to write through the Urim and Thummim that came from the record. They were not his translation. They were the Holy Ghost translation. And he was the tool, along with Oliver Cowdery and a couple of others, that wrote the thing here so we have it to hold in our hand. And again, it shall come to pass that the Lord shall say unto him that shall read the words that shall be delivered him, for as much as this people draw near unto me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear is toward me as taught by the precepts of men, therefore will I proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, yea, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise and learned shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent shall be hid. But woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? And they also say, surely your turning of things upside down will be esteemed as a potter's clay. But behold, I will shew unto them, saith the Lord of hosts, that I know their works. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say unto him that framed it, he had no understanding? But behold, saith the Lord of hosts, I will shew unto the children of men that is not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And the meek also shall increase, and their joy shall be in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For assuredly as the Lord liveth, they shall see that the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. And they that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of my hand, in the midst of them, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmur shall learn doctrine. And we have done that. And says, and now behold, my brethren, I have spoken unto you according as the Spirit hath constrained me. Wherefore I know that they must surely come to pass, and the things which shall be written out of the book shall be of great worth unto the children of men, and especially unto our seed, which is a remnant of the house of Israel. And it goes on into several of the other prophecies that's on into the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. But I wanted you all to realize how pertinent that this is, because I've heard discussions all my life. People saying, well, everything that was in the book that Joseph was given is written here. No, it isn't. God didn't see fit to give us the whole thing. He gave Joseph the words what he wanted him to preach, to do. And he's such an all-seeing God that he knew that Joseph, even after the things that he'd been told he needed to do and how careful he needed to be, he let Martin Harris take the first 115 pages of Foolscap home to his wife to show her, what was there. And it disappeared. They never found it. And so finally, when Joseph regained the good graces of God, he was given the plates back by the angel. But he was told not to retranslate those 115 pages of Foolscap, but he was to translate the things that was in the small book, and we call it the forepart of the Book of Mormon. And it's part, this is the prophecy I just read to you, is in the part that was put in there in place of what they lost. The more sacred things of God's dealings with them on this, what I call the small place of Nephi. And this have come forth here so that we can understand and become the children of God. I think in the way some of this is written, because there is to be a Mount Zion here one day, that many of the prophecies, this one included, speaks of Zion. Things happening of these that are fighting against Mount Zion. Yes, you can say that the early saints in the church, I'll call them that, did things incorrectly, and so they were driven out and killed. Yes, they were. They made their mistakes. But now what we have to do is learn from the history of theirs and realize that the value of this book to me, when I read my Bible, the Bible gives me a large picture sometimes. And if I can find the same thing in the Book of Mormon, it begins to describe it so that I can see the details of who and what is there. Therein lies the rule, how God's word from one nation to another, talking about his dealings with them, helps them write. And Nephi in the earlier part, excuse me, the earlier part of his writings, he's talking about he delights in plainness. And so he takes special pains to make it that way. And that's the reason why, because of his efforts in that way, in trying to serve God, he has made it so we're given a little more clarity of the way things stated, we can understand it. But there's one other thing that assists him in this. Of course, he wrote by understanding, I believe, that was given him by the power of the Holy Ghost. But the translation from the one language, an unknown language, to our language that occurred came by the Holy Ghost. And so that Holy Ghost knew how much help we needed. And so it was supplying some of that help that came right across. I'll give you one other testimony. And I can't remember the man's name, and I didn't bring the letter with me. He's an Arab. And he found the Book of Mormon, and he read it. And he come up with a letter, and he says the book is true, and he knows it's true. Had to be, because he read the history of Joseph Smith, and he said, this man could not have done this. This is a miracle that he brought this forth. Because the clumsiness that we find in some of the wording that people have complained about for years, he says, that's clumsy in English. But in those Middle Eastern language, Arabic being one, and he was an Arab, it shows that those people said they came from that area. And in that area, those in those languages, that wording is correct grammar. It's another testimony of God's mighty work in the bringing forth of this book. And I'd like to leave you with this thought. We've been telling each other that there's some really hard days coming, and I'm not going to tell you anything indifferent, but I am going to tell you this. In the words that I have just read, and that you'll probably read more of yourself, God is trying to assure you that He will always be by our side when we're trying to serve Him. I'll even compare it to what King Messiah was given from God when his boys wanted to go back over among the Lamanites in the danger of being killed. God gave him the assurance that as long as they were doing what they should be doing and serving Him, nobody would be able to kill them. And they didn't. So God's promises are real. They are sure. And we can say this ourselves. And if there be a time when somebody that is chosen to be a martyr, and remember back in the days just after Christ was here, there were some that had to do that. Peter, for one, he was crucified in a cross that instead of being in the normal shape of a cross was an X. And they hung on him. He said he wasn't worthy to be right side up, so they hung him upside down, head down. So we have to realize, when God says He will help us, He means it. He will be there. We can be sure. And one of the things, too, one more thing I wanted to read. We read some things at the beginning of here about how we ought to try the spirits, maybe. And it's right. We do. We need to try the spirits and not just accept everything that seems to come to us by the Spirit. We want to know that it's God's Spirit that we're dealing with. And in the third chapter of Messiah, it gives us a kind of a testimony of those people. I'll just read you a few verses. Now it came to pass when King Benjamin had spoken these words, spoken to his people, he sent among them, desiring to know of his people if they believed the words which he had spoken unto them. And they all cried with one voice, saying, yea, we believe all the words that thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth, because of the Spirit of the Lord omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. And we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. These things God accompanies. And so we do need to bear these testimonies. Yeah, I know. Sometimes people I've had people say to me that, well, you don't have to go into such gruesome detail every time. But at the same time, people do need to tell each other of God's working with them and the help that he gives, because it reinforces all of our faith. And we truly do need that. May God bless all of you. I know we say we love each other, but I have my heart warmed. I probably won't be able to sleep halfway through the night tonight. To be able to see all your faces. Thank you so much for being here. God bless all of you.